You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Officers of this wonderful church, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good to be here. I want to first acknowledge and thank our pastor for allowing me this opportunity to stand behind his sacred desk. Pastor, I thank you, and I want you to know how much I appreciate you, not for just the opportunities that you give, but the example that you live. You know, indeed, there is, and Reverend Willis, Pastor Willis said it this morning, there's not too many pastors like Pastor Twyman. We ought to say amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, again for this privilege and opportunity. There is a word in the Epistle of Philippians, and I want to share something with you about why Philippians is a special epistle to me personally. Some 8 years ago, it was this beautiful young lady that came in to a restaurant, and Pastor, to be honest, I was scared to say something to her. She had me shook. My game wasn't on point. And so when we introduced ourselves and I shared my name, hi, my name is Eric, and she said, hi, my name is Philippia. And I said, oh, named after the church in Philippi. Can I tell the single brothers here something? Know something about God's word, because you never know when you can use it. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, very familiar passage of scripture, beginning at the 12th verse. Philippians chapter 3. Now I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have it, you should see these words. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And just for a few moments, I want to share with us from the thought, I don't have it, I left it behind, but I press. I don't have it, I left it behind, but I press. Every believer should be striving and stretching towards something. As Christians, we should want to achieve our God-given purpose in this life in preparation for what is to come after this life. Yes. In case you did not know, as Christians, we are a purposed people. Yeah, in fact, Paul reminds us in Romans 8:28 that we are purposed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who are the called, to those who love God, and to those who are the called according to his purpose. God has purposed you and I. And in his purpose, he does not want you and I to be the same. He doesn't want us to be satisfied. He doesn't want you and I to become complacent. No, God did not call us out of darkness into his marvelous light for you and I to remain the same. Yeah, the fact of the matter is, God has an expectation that you and I will be conformed to the image of Christ. And to put it plainly, God's free gift of salvation comes with an expectation of spiritual growth. I don't have it. I left it behind, but I press, and this is literally a summation. It is a full acknowledgement and assessment that not only of how far we have come, but yet how far we have to go. Do I have a witness in here? It's a full admission that we are not all of that. In spite of some accolades, in spite of some accomplishments, in spite of some possessions we have gathered, I'm here to tell us that we have not done anything. You see, in view of God's mercy and grace, you and I got some work to do. Yeah, and in our text today, the Apostle Paul is expressing and sharing with you and I the work that is laid out for us. The third chapter of Philippians is where Paul is giving you and I an object lesson on how Christ should be the center of everything in our lives. Indeed, the songwriter was correct when he said that Jesus, you are the center of my joy. And we serve a God that is so jealous that he won't have anybody else to be in his place. Do I have a witness in here? You know that the letter that Paul drafted to the church at Philippi expresses joy in some tough circumstances. We all know that Paul was cast in chains, that he was in a Roman prison. And guess what? He didn't allow his present circumstances to take away his joy. I need to tell somebody today that in spite of what it is that you're going through right now, you give it a choice whether you give your joy away or whether you remain in your joy. You see, Paul didn't allow his circumstances to constrain his confidence in Christ. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. Yeah. If you and I are truly going to take account of ourselves, if we're truly going to participate in our process of spiritual growth, if we're going to fully acknowledge the fact that I don't have it, I left it behind, but I press, then there are three simple principles that you and I must grasp in order to keep life in its proper perspective. The first principle that we must learn is that we must be conscious of our reality. We must be conscious of our reality. Paul says that, listen, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. We must know that in the context of what Paul is saying to us, he's referring, and this is also a continuation of what he said prior. Paul says in verses 10 and 11 of the third chapter of Philippians, he says, listen, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And in verse 11, he says that, listen, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The word attain in our text simply means to seize or to get possession of or to obtain a thing. Paul is consciously aware of the fact that although he desired to experience the power of the resurrection of Christ, he is fully acknowledging that I don't have it yet. Can I tell us something? As good as you look, as much as we have it going on, as much as we have achieved, we don't have it yet. We don't have it yet. We have not arrived. Shame on the Christian who think that they have arrived. Do I have a witness in here? It's not about our possessions. It's about who possesses us. Paul mentions the word perfected. The word perfected does not mean that he is perfect, but the word perfected means in our text to bring an end to something or to be complete. Perfection and sanctification is synonymous in this text. According to Scofield, every Christian has three stages of perfection or sanctification. The first is our positional perfection, which speaks to the change of direction or route that we were going to spend eternity. All I'm simply saying is that before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were hell bound. But upon the confession of faith and the belief in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, we are now heaven bound. But that doesn't mean that we rest on our laurels. It doesn't mean that we sit down and do nothing. There's not only our positional perfection, but there's also relative perfection. Our relative perfection speaks to the process of our spiritual growth and maturity. God expects for you and I to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that when people see us, they see Jesus. Do I have a witness in here? So we're being saved from the power of sin. And it's something that we are active in every single day. But then there's the third perfection, which is our ultimate perfection. We will not achieve ultimate perfection until we die and our soul goes to be with Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Do I have a witness in here? That means in our ultimate perfection, we will be saved from the presence of sin. Yeah. So Paul acknowledges the fact that he doesn't have it yet. He's not trying to brag. He's not trying to boast. He's just simply acknowledging the fact that his desire is to be and to experience what Christ experienced, but he does not have it yet. Thank God for the conjunction of yet. Yeah. My brothers and sisters, we don't have to give up in our process of spiritual growth. But we have to learn how to keep pressing forward. You know, Satan wants you and I to be frustrated and to throw in the towel and to be discouraged and be deterred. But trust me when I tell you, for Christ we live and for Christ we shall die. Yeah. That's why Paul encourages us in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Where he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the gospel, the good confession, in the presence of many witnesses. So there is a reality in serving and worshiping a true and living God. And that reality is that we are here to look like Jesus. But not only is there not only should we be conscious of our reality, but we should also consider the process. We have to consider the process. Listen, there is a process involved in our spiritual growth. Look at what Paul says in verse 13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul continues to acknowledge the fact that he has not apprehended, but he sheds light on what this life is really about. Paul says, but one thing. He says, but one thing. See, the reason sometimes we get frustrated in our walk with Christ is because we're trying to do 1,000 things. But Paul narrows down his focus to one thing. Can I tell you something? You can only do one thing at a time. I know the world demands that we multitask, but when it comes to spiritual growth, it's not about multitasking. It's about growing in grace. Paul says, but one thing I do. He narrows his focus to one thing. This life, this Christian life, is like a race, and we have to narrow our focus on the finish line. It's hard to run toward anything if you're always looking back. You can never hit the mark if you're always looking back. Yeah, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me. Listen, Paul is making an assertion here that anything that he accomplished in his flesh was okay, but he's forgetting about it. Why? Because if we hold on to it, it could hinder us and cause us to have pride and make us think that we did it. But we didn't do it. It's only by God's grace that we're able to accomplish anything in this life. Yeah. Paul gives us an example of this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6a, where he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So he lists his resume, circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Paul says, in light of everything that he accomplished, in light of the family, the bloodline, everything that was assigned to him, he counts it lost. He says in verse 7, but what things that were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. I counted, in fact, Pastor, in the King James Version, he said, listen, I counted as dung. And dung is waste that is eliminated. Hello. He counted as something that's not even worth anything. Listen. You and I can accomplish a lot of things in this life, but it should never take place over what Christ has done in our lives. Christ should be our all and all. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We have a race to run. And you cannot run by standing still. We got to let it go. As we come to a close, we shared with you that there's some principles that can help us relate to our spiritual growth. One, we have to be conscious of our reality. Two, we must consider the process. And lastly, if we're going to grow strong in our faith, if we're going to look at life from a different perspective, then we have to concentrate on the prize. We got to concentrate on the prize. Paul says in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul paints a picture here, Pastor, of an athlete, of a runner who is solely focused on the finish line. Can I tell you something? That Paul is encouraging you and I to press toward the mark. Someone once said that to grow as a Christian, you have to be in the race, have the proper attitude, and give the proper effort. Indeed, Solomon highlights this point in Ecclesiastes 9:11, where he says that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor the riches of men of understanding, nor favor of men of skills, but time and chance happens to them all. Yeah, time and chance. But that's why I love the writer of Hebrews, who wrote in chapter 12, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily snares us. Let us run with endurance, that the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I tell you something? That even though you don't have it, even though you leave it behind, there's something to press toward. Doesn't matter with the heartache and pain, you gotta press. Doesn't matter how your body ails, you gotta press. Doesn't matter what people say about you, you gotta press. The reason that you could press, because Jesus died on Calvary's cross, buried in another man's tomb, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He declared that all the power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Press on. Don't give up. Don't give up. I like what the songwriter says. Listen, I'm going to put on my robe and tell the story how I made it.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.